Please turn with me this morning to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let's bow, please, for prayer. And as you have your Bibles open, pray with us, pray for us, pray for yourself, that the Lord will open your heart to receive His Word this morning. Let us all pray. Father, settle us now, we ask, in our Savior's name. As we come to look into Thy truth. Help us to speak Thy Word faithfully and plainly. Do not let any misunderstand. Do not let any misconstrue Thy Word. Lord, help me, I pray. Fill me with Thy Spirit to speak as Thy messenger in the message of God. Lord, hear our prayer this day. For any who are unsaved, speak to their heart. For any, Lord, who are distant from God, perhaps backslidden, cold in heart, Lord, warm them, we pray, by a gracious moving of the Spirit of God upon their hearts. Lord, hear and answer our prayers. We ask all this, that Jesus might be glorified in His precious name. Amen. I want to draw your attention to verse 8 of this chapter this morning. October the 4th, 1986 was a beautiful autumn day. It was a day in the providence of God that I set aside to seek the Lord for specific direction. And the outcome would change the course of our lives. We knew that God had been at work stirring our hearts and unsettling our minds. It was a time in our lives when we were going along very smoothly. Jill had worked in the church as the secretary and in the bookstore, and I was involved in a prosperous family business with what appeared to be a clearly marked future. But God had been at work in my heart. He had planted a seed which, by the Holy Spirit, now was beginning to germinate. It could not be put out of my mind any longer, and I had to know what the will of the Lord was. I can tell you that before that day concluded, I knew unmistakably what the will of the Lord was. For I had begun to seek the Lord in my daily Bible reading, and I had come to this verse in chapter 3 of Ephesians and verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And I knew, beyond any shadow of a doubt at that point, what God was calling me to do in my life. No, that was not the first time I had felt the tuggings of the Lord for a full-time service. That had been over a process of 8 years, of times when the Lord was revealing His truth, putting an impression upon my mind. Some pastor, some preacher would bring a word, a message, and the Lord would instill that upon my heart. But it always seemed to be off in the distance. And yet now I knew the Lord had begun to take the nest apart. Just as in nature, a bird will do that so that the young will be thrown out of the nest and learn how to survive on their own. Oh, my friends, here was what God was doing in my own heart, and I had to know beyond any shadow of a doubt. And as this verse took hold of me, the solemnity of the call of God and all of the uncertainties and the fears and, yes, the doubts rushed into my heart. And I immediately began to question and doubt, well, how can I begin to study for ministerial training? I had been out of school for many years, over 10 years. How can I begin to prepare sermons? How will the whole matter work out? And isn't that just the way doubts do flood in to our hearts when we have been told to do something from the Lord's hand, from His Word? Ah, but then not long after, a word of confirmation came. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Then there was a peace that settled over my soul, and I knew that the time had come, and there was no turning back, there was no excuses, and on top of that, there settled in also a fear that if I was not going to respond now, that the Lord would be dealing with me. Because I knew that I had come to that point. I cannot turn back. I cannot go back. I must go forward. I had greatly feared taking this step because of others that I knew who had professed to be called of God, and yet shortly after they began their studies, things fell apart. It didn't work. And I feared in my heart, how can I go forward unless I am absolutely certain. And so in my mind, I felt the Lord had to take me by the scruff of the neck and put my face down into the Word, put my nose to the book and say, there, look, here it is now. And that was the way that I felt God had to deal with me. This is the way, walk ye in it. This morning, please, with the help of your prayers, I would like to challenge you by this profound verse of Scripture to consider the greatest calling for the greatest subject. And I want to break up this message into two parts, looking first of all today at the greatest calling, and then by the Lord's help and providence, next Lord's Day morning, to conclude by considering the greatest subject. The first thing that I find here in this text is a personal call. For it says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints. Now, the Apostle Paul was the one writing this word to the Ephesian Christians. The Apostle Paul was called to a very high office, the office of the Apostle to the Gentiles. He had great authority in the establishment of the New Testament church. He wrote 14 at least of the 27 New Testament books. It was through his missionary endeavor that the gospel came to the Western Hemisphere. He was a man through the Spirit of God and in his boldness who withstood Peter to the face. And as I thought on that, I thought again, that would be not an easy thing to do. Peter was, for all intents and purposes, the leading apostle, the one used of God at the day of Pentecost, filled with the Spirit of God to bring the message to the people in Jerusalem. And yet we find the Apostle Paul withstands him to the face. Why? Because Peter had compromised the gospel. He had compromised the gospel by separating himself from the Gentiles to go with the Jewish people when there was some false teaching being put forward. His heritage as a Jew, the Apostle Paul, that is clearly outlined in Philippians 3. And in Acts 26 and verse 5, he declares that by the most straitest sect of the Pharisees, he was brought up under the law. He claimed that according to the righteousness of the law, he was blameless. And yet, in our verse this morning, he has identified himself in the lowest of terms. For he says he was less than the least. And I want you to understand the import of this word. It does not appear anywhere else in the Bible. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul coined a word to express what he had in his heart by the Holy Spirit. There are four words in the English, less than the least. But there is only one word in the Greek language. The ordinary terms of language, it seemed, would not express the idea which he wants to convey. And the word, therefore, that has been coined is more emphatic. It means, who am incomparably the least of all saints, or who am not worthy to be reckoned among the saints. He did not even look upon himself as being worthy to be saved. He was lower. He didn't esteem himself close to the apostles. He did not esteem himself as being worthy of that office. He said, I'm not even worthy to be called a Christian. He was lower than the lowest in his own estimation. I am sure, as the apostle tells his own testimony, that he had that awful sense of responsibility that weighed heavy upon his heart. Even though he was saved, the Lord had removed his sin, but he was there standing and watching when Stephen the martyr was stoned to death for the cause of Christ. And Paul was there, Saul of Tarsus. He was the one who went into the very homes of Christians and took men and women and children and put them into jail for the cause of Christ. Do you not think that weighed heavy upon the heart of this man? He could never forget that. He has to confess, I am less than the least. Calvin commented that, who is this man that God should have raised him above his brethren? What superior excellence did he possess that he should be chosen to in preference to all the others? All such comparisons of personal worth are set aside by the confession that he was less than the least. And Calvin goes on to comment that this is not some kind of a hypocritical declaration. Most men are ready enough, he said, to make professions of feigned humility, while their minds are swelled with pride. Now the apostle said, I am less than the least of the apostles, and I'm not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of Christ. Christ Jesus came into the world, he said, to save sinners, of whom I am chief of sinners. Paul knew who and what he was. And when that verse was impressed upon my heart, I realized that God, who had had mercy upon my soul and had saved me by His grace, that I was not worthy to be a Christian. I was not worthy to take up the mantle of the servant of the Lord. Who am I? What am I but a common laborer? Why should God lift up someone and put them in a position of being a minister, a pastor to His people? The Lord used that verse to speak to my own heart. And He called me, but I realized that, Lord, I cannot do this by myself. I am unable for this great calling. Mr. Spurgeon said, the fuller a vessel becomes, the deeper it sinks in the water. Those who are called to the stern work of ministering among the sons of men will often mourn their weakness. And in the sense of that weakness and unworthiness, they will go before God and confess that they are less than the least of all saints. If you would know your nothingness, he said, attempt something for Jesus. If you would feel how utterly powerless you are apart from the living God, attempt especially a great work of proclaiming the unsearchable riches of Christ. You would not think it by knowing Mr. Spurgeon, but he was a man who was overcome by great doubts and great depression. And he said, I read on one occasion that he commented, if you saw me, his congregation, if you saw him in his study before he was going to come and preach the word, he said, you would find him as a man completely humbled before God, completely unmanned, as he put it. And the Lord called him to be, as we know today, the Prince of English preachers. Many of us would vie for the position of the least of all saints. And when we look into our own hearts, if we're honest, we have to see there a great depth of depravity. And don't we often grieve ourselves because of unspeakable thoughts? When we account our innumerable failures, when we see what God has done for us and given to us, and yet our response to Him is so meager, so weak. And yet, wonder of wonders, God has called us. Wonder of wonders, God has called me. The Lord deals with us very personally, you know. He deals with us personally in salvation. He deals with us personally in sanctification, and He does deal with us personally in service. The apostle said, unto me. God dealt with him on a personal basis. I wonder this morning, has God been dealing with you? Has your heart been moved upon by the tuggings of the Holy Spirit to serve Him in some way? Have you been holding back in your service for the Lord? Please notice, secondly, with me, that this was a privileged call. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given. Is this grace given? Now, the Lord has given everything to us. He has given us our material goods. He has prospered us with physical benefits innumerable. And on top of that, He has given to us spiritual blessings here on earth and in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He has blessed us beyond measure. All of this given by His gracious and loving hand, who had mercy on us who were most undeserving. The book of Ephesians is the book of grace. This epistle contains the twin peaks of these verses, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And these two verses stand out as great beacons shining forth the grace of our God to us. For we who are undeserving have now received the greatest of blessings of salvation. And yet, you know, sometimes creeping into our minds would be that wicked thought, because I'm a little bit worthy, because the Lord saw something good in me, just a little spark of something, that's why He chose me. That's why I'm here today. No, my friend, this message of salvation is all of grace. It's all of Christ. And it's nothing of you and nothing of me. Paul emphasized this over and over again in chapter 3 and verse 2. He says, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward. And then down in verse 7. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me. He cannot get that word out of his vocabulary. It's repeated over and over again. Ephesians, the epistle of grace. Friends, it is a monstrous lie. A lie of the devil that comes into our hearts to let us think that there's something good in us, something worthy in us. Our hearts are only evil continually. Left to ourselves, we would corrupt instantly. Left to ourselves, we would become undone. Job said, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? We who are unclean, there's no goodness that can come from us. For a polluted stream cannot bring forth sweet and good water. You cannot have a good water and bad water coming out of the same polluted stream. Paul presses this point where he says, grace is given unto me. Because grace is not something earned. It is that which God has given to us by His own unmatchable mercy. Paul expresses the point in 1 Corinthians 4 and 7, that no one of you be puffed up against another. For who maketh you to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive it? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou had not received it? He was dealing with the Corinthians who were overcome with their own pride and importance. And Paul has to just dismantle them. You didn't get anything by your own prowess or intellect. Everything you have has been given to you. Therefore, there's no room for boasting. We owe everything unto the Lord. To serve God in any capacity is a most blessed privilege and not something for us to be thinking we're worthy of. Jacob said, I am not worthy of the least of thy blessings. Whether it is the preaching of the gospel by a minister or the teaching in the Sunday school class or whatever God has called you to do, realize, my friend, it is a grace given. And let us serve the Lord with gladness. Let us praise Him with all our hearts. You see, the calling of God to preach the gospel is the highest commission that could be given to any man. Spurgeon, in that famous quote, said, if God has called you to preach, do not stoop to be a king. And this was brought out in the life of Dr. William Carey, who was laboring in India, and his son Felix accepted the office of the ambassador to the king of Burma. And Carey replied, Felix has driveled into an ambassador. He did not look at that as an increase, but a decrease. One of the most pressing needs in our denomination is that God would call men into His work. The need is for men of God, with zeal for truth and a consuming love for the Savior. Men who are not filled with a sense of intellectual ability or some oratorical skill, but men of prayer. Men who have themselves realized that they're just clay in the hand of the great potter. And they're prepared to say, Lord, mold me and make me into whatever you want. That there would be a fire of God in the belly of such men, prepared to sacrifice reputation, prepared to sacrifice worldly gain, for that greater crown, the greater crown of God's commendation. Men who see themselves as lower than the lowest. Brothers and sisters, has God given you something to do for Him? Do not despise the gifts and calling of God. Do not take for granted the opportunity that the Lord has given you to serve while you have your health. While you have time and opportunity, for the day will be over soon enough. The night will be upon us soon enough. Time to work for God is now, not tomorrow, not next year. It is a privilege to serve and to labor for the Master. Ecclesiastes 12:1, though, says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. What evil days? While the evil days of a life filled with responsibility, overcome with burdens, and the years draw nigh when we'll have to say, I have no pleasure in them, when our life has been spent and there's no more to give. Now you have your health. Now you have strength. Now you have opportunity. Serve God now. Go work today in my vineyard. Yes, this is a most privileged call that God has given to me. But thirdly, it was a preaching call. For the apostle said that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Paul preached the gospel with all his heart. He preached the gospel at every opportunity that it was given to him. I'm always amused at the time when he was in Athens, and he was there on his own by the providence of God, and there he found several altars, and one of them to the unknown God. And he used that very point of reference to go and preach to the people who were there, to the unknown God. And he preached to them Jesus and salvation. He knew what it was to be about the most vital task that a man could be given. E.M. Bounds, who has written much on prayer and the life of the man of God, he wrote this. He said, "Preaching is not the performance of an hour. It is the outflow of a life." And as I was typing out this quote in my note, my heart just cried out to God, "Lord, give me such a life. I do not want to make sermons that are going to fill a service. How empty, how vain. I want the Holy Spirit to fill me and to use the ministry God has given, directed by the Lord in every way." May the Lord save us from just sermonizing. May He save us from going through the motions of church. There is an awful term today that's called doing church. What an accursed term that is. Let us not be guilty of going through the motions of just coming and going and coming and going. Did you come to the service this morning saying, "Lord, I want to meet with You. Lord, I need to have a word from God for my heart today"? Or did you come not really that concerned? Just another service. Just another time. Lord, deliver us from that and bring us to the house of God with a prepared heart, with an open heart, saying, "I want to meet with the Lord today. I want to hear a word from the Scripture." You know, from Paul's first sermon to the last one he ever preached before his blood was spilled for the Lord, he preached Christ. He preached nothing else but Christ. He lifted up the cross. He magnified the Son of God, who was the Savior of sinners. And his cry was, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which beareth away the sins of the world." He desired to know nothing among the people save Christ and Him crucified. It has pleased the Lord to use this means of bringing His message. How unusual this is. There is something that you cannot find here in the English of this text. It has to do with the preaching of His Word. Because you will notice in our text, it says that I should preach among the Gentiles. This is not the normal word for preach. As a matter of fact, it is the word euangelion, the root there, and it means the gospel, glad tidings, the good news. And so really we could read this, that unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach the gospel among the Gentiles, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Preaching the gospel. My friend, it's not preaching philosophy. It's not preaching human intellect. It's not preaching good works. It's not preaching anything else that fills too many of our pulpits today. It is the preaching of the gospel. And what is that? It is presenting the unsearchable riches of Christ. It is much despised in the world today. The preacher is much despised. He is looked at with disdain. The message is foolish. The presentation of the message is certainly foolish. And yet it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. This, brothers and sisters, is a personal call. It is a most privileged call. But it is a preaching call. And I was challenged on the Friday night of the installation by Brother Mook as he again reminded us from 2 Timothy, preach the word. That was the message the apostle gave to Timothy. That's the message that comes to every preacher. Don't negotiate the truth. Don't dialogue the truth. Preach the truth. Preach the word. And my friends, as we come to this great challenge that is in front of us, I ask for your earnest prayer. For we have a priceless message to present, the greatest message. We have the message of salvation to a lost world. We have the heart of this text, the unsearchable, indescribable riches of our Lord Jesus Christ. This must be the grand subject of prophets, pastors, and teachers who have been sent from God from all ages. Let us not stray from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us be certain that our central message never varies from that. For then the Lord will be glorified, God the Father will be honored, and He will be pleased because glory has been brought to His Son. As we close our service this morning, I want to say a word to those who are without the Lord today. If you cannot say with every assurance that you know you're saved, friend, don't leave today until you're absolutely clear on that matter. We'll take time with you. We'll sit with you, open the Scriptures with you, and show you how you can know that you truly are born again. Maybe I'm speaking to someone and you have to admit this past year of 07 has not been a good year for you. Things have happened. Things have gone wrong. I'm not walking with God as I should. Now is the time to get that put right. Don't put it off for another moment. You have only a short time to live for the Savior. You've got to do it now. And yet, for believers in our service, let us rejoice in every opportunity that God gives to us to live for Him. Let us not despise the day of small things, but let us rejoice praying harder, praying more fervently, praying that God would open up new doors of service for us, and that His blessing would be poured out upon each one, every family, and there would be a great harvest for the glory and honor of Christ's holy name.